Life First Podcast. Get with it or get forgotten.
What's up, all you lifers out there? Welcome to MMA Mondays on the Life First Podcast. Got your trustees here, Papa Josh, Mikey C.
Hello, hello.
Legend. It's been a very been a wild week, you know. With everything that's going on in the world, you know, 2020 has been kind of a wash, but we have had some MMA to at least entertain us through some of these
literally the only sport alive right now.
legit to kind of get us off our mind of some of the things that are happening in our world. You know, to everybody, you know, me personally, to everybody who's protesting right now, please be safe out there. You know, let's try not to make this violent. Let's try not to be a part of the looting. Change's got to come, but we can't be the thing that destroys countless properties and businesses, because unfortunately the media right now isn't going to get the message if that's going to be the point, I feel like. But I think there's going to be some progress, and that's going to be another conversation. But I'm happy to see you, my man. I'm happy to know that we're here doing our thing, man. Getting ready to represent some MMA here. So
getting to talk about what we love, the most brutal sport in the world.
Woo!
And from the outside looking in, dog fighting.
Right.
The most technical free. Oh God, it's one of the most amazing things. It's really a true expression of thyself. MMA.
I mean, we've
it's the culmination of so many different styles. It's hard work. It's the culmination of hard work and outside life, inside of training. You know, it's just crazy what goes into it. And I imagine high level sports do that, but there's just something different about MMA, man. The reason I started is because it's the hardest thing in the world, and I'm still in love with it. And I don't think it's something that's ever gonna leave my life. So who knows? My story is yet to be written. I'll keep you updated.
It's still early. Don't worry. People will get to see the journey, man. Lifers get to see the journey. Mm-hmm. So we just had this fight night yesterday, or Saturday. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Monday. And yeah, man. I actually only caught really the last three fights.
Well, I only caught the main card as well.
Really? I really only got to see the last three fights. My daughter was here, so I was running around with her a little bit. But I got to see the Spike Carlaw fight versus your boy Billy Q.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get to watch that fight?
Yeah, I saw the main card. I know all the results, but pretty much the main card is what I watched.
Okay. Well, with Spike and Billy, you know, it's funny. DC and Bisping kind of mentioned it early in the first round. Because Spike just came off sprinting like Jorge Masvidal. And I think he actually connected with like a kick to Billy's head.
Flying. It looked like the kick that Werdum landed on Travis Brown in their second fight.
Yeah, right?
And, running, flying kick.
He came out just...
ninja.
Just ready. But,
no regard, no respect.
No, but I mean, he wanted to kill him. Like, he wanted to just take him out. And that's when Bisping and I believe Cormier were kind of mentioning, you know, that I believe Billy's I think even Billy had mentioned, I guess the strategy was to kind of let him gas out, that kind of to weather that storm the first round, and that he can pick him apart second and third.
Which is almost essentially what happened.
What happened? Yeah, I thought to be honest, I thought Spike had won by like a hair, but the only reason was I wanted your boy to win, but two, also I thought that Billy had done enough to win. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't sure about that second round because there was a few times that Spike wasn't doing damage, but it looked like he was doing more on top.
He's got a really, really good wrestling background. Yes. I studied a lot of tape on him. I'm always looking at up and coming prospects and just studying for myself and for the use of just application, you know, being able to pick up styles and be able to see what I can apply my style to and, you know, pick up things that they do well. But I saw in a lot of his fights before he even ever hit the UFC, I didn't know he was so strong and explosive. At least he didn't show that in his other fights. He was a completely different speed, a completely different strength, it seemed. And in the most recent fight against Billy Q, he just seemed 110%. That guy is, like, high on life. Like, he's such an intense and like, powerful person. And he asked for a five-pound allowance on the 145-pound, you know, weight class. So he asked catchweight fight.
Yeah.
That is already a sign of, like, I mean, I get it. You know, you're in a pandemic. It's probably a little harder to train and cut weight. But, you know, people are still doing it. No one else asked for five-pound allowance. So that's a little mental war that went back and forth. You know, he's like, "Fool, we'll give him the 5 pounds. They're still gonna beat his ass," type of thing. You know.
Well, and I'm sure I would assume that Billy got compensated a little bit when it came to the pay.
Who knows?
I would think because usually when people miss weight, they lose, I believe, like 30% of their purse or something like that.
It wasn't missing weight. They just agreed to 5 pounds more.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm wondering if he allowed it because they compensated him, maybe. Sweeten the deal. Like, hey, you know.
5 pounds can make a difference, especially to a naturally bigger person. And we saw that in the fight. He was more muscle-bound and stronger than Billy, but the technicality was in Billy's corner.
And all those muscles need more oxygen to work. And that's the thing,
for the most part, more muscle-bound people get tired faster, which doesn't make sense, right? You know, you'd figure it'd be the other way around.
No, for sure. And I mean, it makes sense when you think about the muscles and how much, you know, oxygen they need to work properly. And not only that, but the amount of energy that you exert the way that he was doing it, you know.
Moving that way.
Because, I mean, you look at Kamaru, who's got phenomenal, and even Colby Covington, they're, you know, they got pretty nice bodies. They're little beefcakes, you know. They're pretty muscle-bound. But they
respond on another level of physicality.
Yeah, that's true. No, he's like
Romero.
He's sculpted, yeah. But those, I mean, and those guys got pretty good cardio, man, and especially Usman. So, you know, Billy Q played it perfectly. Him and his team, I think, came up with a really great strategy. He got tired after that first round. Granted, that first round looked like he was just throwing a tornado on Billy. And I thought a couple shots that he landed, Billy really weathered it. Like, he looked like he got caught.
He's
maybe
tough. He's super tough.
But, man, he was, durable. And you could tell just, again, when he was on the ground, he stayed active. You know, there was a moment, I think, in the first round when he wasn't attacking from the bottom too much. But close to the second or into the second and third, you saw him actively throwing elbows, actively hitting them with
black ball on the Gracie Tampa, bro.
You know what I'm saying? He did his thing. I'm happy for him. I'm really happy for him. Because he now I believe that's, what, 5 fights in the UFC?
He's had – he's 2-0 in the UFC. I think he's won 6 or 7 straight.
Okay.
Pretty damn good.
I guess those fights were coming, but those fights came from, what, the Ultimate Fighter or the Contender?
He fought in the Ultimate Fighter, I think season 22. He was on Team Faber. Okay. He was called Channing Wahlberg back then. You know, Channing Tatum and Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, funny little thing he picked up. He won to get into the house, so he was in the house. And then I think he lost in the semifinals to a really, really like oversized and powerful, similar to Spike's style, to be honest. Nope. That's kind of cool. He progressed over the years to the same exact type of style and then beat him. But the guy's name was Saul Rogers, who was supposed to win the whole thing. Couldn't get a visa and couldn't go to the finals. So they put in Artem Lobov, which is Conor McGregor's partner.
Yeah, I remember Artem.
And that's the guy who fought in the finals instead. But the person who won that year is Ryan Hall, and that guy's on a freaking tear. Yeah. Not many people want to fight Ryan Hall.
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu wizard. Wizard.
Yeah.
I'm really, really, really impressed by Billy Q. You know, I've had the pleasure of being able to train around him and actually be mentored by him at one point in my life and career. And he absolutely deserves it, man. I can't take anything away from him. He's had a lot. Like, when I was living in Tampa, I think he was out for like a year and a half with a torn knee. Like, I think he like tore his ACL, MCL. So the recovery from that, to see him come back from that and then resume his MMA career, like, it never stopped. It was pretty cool. So he's got a good story going. He's got a good fan base. You know, he's from New York. Big fan base up there. That's his family up there. And then he moved to Tampa to specifically train for, you know, to get into the UFC. It was his goal when he first started. So
That's sick. You know, it's funny. You mentioned what he that they called him Channing Wahlberg. Yeah. I actually kind of think he looks like Dominic Cruz, like a tall Dominic Cruz.
A little bit. I can see that.
A little bit.
Maybe like a younger Dominic Cruz.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's funny. That's cool. But dude, that how about the punch at the end of the first round? Spike with like 5 seconds left just gets
turns
up.
Turns around.
And
I think
wild.
I would assume he thought the bell rang somehow.
With all due respect to Spike Carlisle, that dude is off his rocker.
Oh, he definitely interpreted something. But I loved it because even – I think the ref actually said something, which like I'm wondering if he should have because
– fight till the bell.
It's I think that's what he said, right? And I mean, hey, props to Billy because he took advantage. Because, hey, man, if you can rock what – they have like what, 30 – it's 30 seconds on the stool, right?
A minute. In between. Quickest minute of your life.
Oh, it's a minute, right? So, yeah. I mean, hey, if you can rock for that minute, it can change the fight for you, you know? So, shout out to your boy Billy Q, though, for pulling off the dub because I'm excited to see him fight, man. He was some of that, the transitions from the ground.
They hit each other's back a lot.
Bro, some of those those triangle attempts, I thought he had a couple, but it seemed like
he slipped out.
I could just slip out just by a little bit, man. It was like, oh, and then I thought he almost had an arm bar. I mean, some of these transitions
That's where, in the judge's eyes, that Billy stole around in the second. Because I thought it was clear. Spike one, Billy three, two's in the air. But that second round, you know, he was more aggressive. I mean, first off, they were reversing each other, taking each other's backs, mounting each other. You know, it was just crazy.
And Spike, you talk about that explosive power, right? Spike looked exhausted after the first, right? Just looked.
Yeah.
But you would see him on the ground, Billy was on top of him, and all of a sudden he just would buck and would try to get back up. And Mark, like the power that he could generate, I'm like, Mark, like he's gonna be. I wonder since he had that 5-weight, I'm wondering if when everything kind of gets back to normal, if he'll end up stay at 145 or if he'll even jump up to 155.
I know that weight cut's got to be pretty hard. I saw when they were grappling, Billy would get him in a pretty dominant position, like maybe like hooks in, you know, have his back, and Spike would just throw him off. It was just almost like not even so much technique. It would be just more of like brute, just, all right, I'm done with you type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like father-son type of grappling, you know? Which in its own way is technical, but it's not what like, you know, a traditional escape, you know, or a traditional get up from the ground. It just seemed like brute force, but... Dude, what a hell! I thought that was fight of the night. I didn't get to see the Tim Elliott fight. That's the one that won it. But Tim Elliott's pretty damn.
I missed that fight.
That guy's groovy. That guy's got a really fun fight style. Yeah. The only person that I've seen like endangered Demetrius Johnson. Caught him in a guillotine for like 2 minutes, and then lost the rest of the fight.
Dang, I don't know if I remember seeing that fight. I probably watched that one then.
Dude, Demetrius Johnson's the best fighter of all time. That's my go.
He's a G. What, not Triple C, huh? The King of Cringe?
He finished Triple C in like 2 minutes. He did. I mean, their second fight was closer, given, but...
Yeah, I still thought DJ pulled off the win in that one, but... But hey.
Cejudo laid on him. Like, again, he took him down and probably could do it whenever he wants, but like, he didn't do anything.
You gotta do damage. You gotta do something.
That's what a fight's about.
Right?
You also gotta play to your points.
It was a very entertaining fight. You said you didn't watch the Blagoy fight. I watched it against Sakai. And you could just tell, I mean, Sakai's got some really, you know, he's got that shoot box. Excuse me. Got the background. He's got the Muay Thai. Dude was just.
They seemed extremely hesitant the first round.
A little bit. You could tell. Well, because Blagoy's got that power. So
he does. I don't know too much about him, but I think any heavyweight has power.
For sure.
For the most part. You know, I was talking it up. I had both my roommates, you know, watching with me. I'm like, they're heavyweights. Someone's going to go down. And then it was just the first minute of, you know, not really knowing what's going on.
They were a little hesitant, but they started getting into a rhythm. You could see Sakai was just chopping at those legs, man. Just constantly chopping at those legs. And was kind of picking his shots.
A very close fight. So,
bro, Cormier mentioned a great point, though. It probably would have been a draw if they would have actually deducted that point when Blagoy almost caught that almost caught that wizard and like almost flipped them, and he literally pulled the fence to stay up.
That happened before. Remember Chad Mendes and Jose Aldo?
Yep.
It's unfortunately the fight ended right after, so.
You know, what can you do? But I was, you know, Sakai looked pretty good. I mean, I think Blagoy just couldn't get inside and didn't really stick to. He stayed to the range of Augusto, I believe his first name is. And just, you know, couldn't definitely, really do much.
Definitely not as entertaining as a heavyweight fight usually is, I guess.
I think, yeah. Well, Blagoy, his last fight, he knocked the guy out like the last few moments of the fight. Like, he just caught him with a solid right and dropped him, I believe. But, you know, you can't.
Can't win them all.
Exciting, unfortunately.
But, I mean, that fight was it was definitely not deserving of a co-main event spot. But, I mean, then again, I don't know how they kind of dictate that.
I guess so it was a fight night, so. I feel like some of these fight nights
kind of really matter
when it comes to their co-main events, at least. But let's move on to the main event, man.
Really, really quick. Let me just sidetrack you.
Yeah, what's up?
Detour you. How about Mackenzie Dern, Jiu-Jitsu world champion?
You know, I missed that one.
She just came off of a loss. It looked pretty competitive at first. I think I've trained in the same room as Hannah Cyphers. Like, I've seen her train before. You know, tough, you know, technical. But just the biggest disparity would be the ground game. I think Mackenzie Dern was coming off of her first loss. I'm trying to remember who it was. Brain fart. But Mackenzie Dern, she just had a kid, her first kid, which I imagine that's a big weight cut in itself, including cutting to your normal weight class. And she comes in, and dude, I thought it was gonna be a heel hook. It was a transition. I think she got put on her butt, and then she chose to go for a. She chose to go for a leg entanglement, so she went for the Della Riva hook and went and jumped on a knee bar, and the knee bar was deep. I mean, can't really play with leg locks either, and they're really hard to finish in MMA.
Della Riva hook.
Della Riva. So Della Riva guard to a Della Riva hook, and then she went from that to a knee bar bite.
So for the people that might not know, what's a Della Riva guard usually look like? Is that usually
someone
like
standing above you? Standing above you, your the lead leg that is closest to you, you grab with your hand. So it'd be like almost like as a guillotine. You grab that and then you take your right leg and you hook it in between their the top of your foot is in between their thigh, and then your left foot is on their hip or on their opposite thigh. So you're controlling them. You can pull them in, and you can sweep people from there. You can, you know, jump into a leg lock, an Ashigarami entry.
Is that usually kind of the transition for leg locks?
I've noticed a lot of leg locks usually happen from the person on top, trying to pass the guard or neglecting to pass the guard, and then we'll, you know, sit back for a leg lock. That's like a common joke in jiu-jitsu, like, oh, doesn't know how to pass guard, you know, pulls a leg lock type of thing. Yeah, but in this instance, dude, first off, as a jiu-jitsu practitioner, I'm labeled as a leg lock guy, which I don't really think I am. I feel like I have a more complete game.
Yeah.
But man, it's the dark side of jiu-jitsu for sure. And unfortunately, I've snapped someone's ankle in my hand, and I obviously didn't mean to.
Yeah.
It's just I had it, and we're in a competition. You know, you tap is when it's over. But I caught it. And it wasn't even a big competition, so I feel bad about it, obviously. But I caught it, and it's not even like I cranked it super hard. I just had it, and then, like, I start to turn it a little bit, and then in my hand, I let go. I look at him. I'm like, dude.
Ow.
Okay? And he goes, yeah, we're good. And then they call the match off.
Yeah, of course.
But it's just, dude, they work. They absolutely work. Get it in MMA is an even harder trait. You know, so that was very, very impressive.
You're open. You're kind of vulnerable, right, to strikes when you go for.
It's very, very hard to secure. But you like to think at the same time. I mean, obviously there's punches involved. I would like to think that the majority of the people that I fought can't keep up with my leg lock game. You know, it's just a matter of exposing it.
Yeah.
And in the amateur circuit, you can't really do it.
Donaher, you know, swears by the leg lock. You know, when he was on JRE. You know, that's he had one of the best like breakdowns of why the legs, when you take away the legs, you take away, you know, half of the power, and you take away, you know, you take away their strength, essentially, because they can't generate any power unless if they don't have their legs, essentially. So
he was, of course, man, ignore 50% of the body.
Yeah, he was so dope on that podcast.
But yeah, that was my highlight. You know, I thought that was a great fight. Mackenzie Dern has a lot of promise. I think she's marketable. There's a bit of a skepticism towards her Brazilian accent, because there's like literally a video of her.
Oh, someone meant, I saw something about an accent. I didn't click on the link, but I was like, what? Huh?
There's like a video of the progression of her accent and how she's like faking it. She like moved to Brazil and then like picked up an accent, or is forcing it or something. Like,
really? From
regular English to like, yeah, I had the leg lock, you know? And it just seems so forced. That's what people, obviously MMA fans are the worst. That's what they hold over her head.
Oh, but, man.
Whatever.
You know, if you keep winning, whatever, you know?
So main event time?
Main event, my man.
I put my money on Woodley, and I was sorely mistaken.
I saw, man. I was hoping to see, even if Woodley lost, I was hoping that he looked promising.
Well, it was terrible.
It just looked like it's like he's not like he like his head isn't in it anymore. It just looks like he's.
It is kind of crazy to think about. Think about it like this: imagine his head not being in it and surviving against a top 15 fighter, top 10 fighter.
Like just trying
to keep himself in there. Like most people would have gotten knocked out, and actually, according to Gilbert Burns' track record, I think it was like 5 or 6 in a row, he's finished most of the people he's fought in his win streak.
Yeah. Damian Maya, unfortunately, being the last victim.
I know, right? So Jesus. Burns is for real, man. Burns wants to fight in July.
Impressive. That dude, my goodness, just what he was able to do. First off, he got 2 takedowns on Tyron, who prior to...
Never gets taken down.
Prior to Usman had never been taken down.
I've been watching a lot of Tyron Woodley, and I've never seen him on his butt besides his last 2 fights.
Telling you, man. And
that rap career, bro.
That, the TMZ. I mean, and he even admitted that there was a lot of things, you know, there was a lot of stuff on his plate. And supposedly, I think he was in Thailand, right? I believe they mentioned out there training a little bit. And
he didn't show anything to Muay Thai.
He was supposed to be showing it, and he didn't. You know, and I'm, you know, shout out to Dean Thomas, who was kept it 100 with him and was like, hey, man, you got to do more because we're you need to finish. By the fourth round, he was like, you're down. Like, they already knew you're down 3 rounds, my man. You got to finish him. And he never pushed the pace. He never, you know.
That's what he does, though. He just accepts his back on the fence, you know, and traditionally, that's not how you want to fight. You know, there's only 2 people that can really do that is. I guess Woodley, I've seen him win with his, you know, on his back foot, but the other person's Anderson Silva. Otherwise, MMA law, you got to have the center of the octagon. You got to be the aggressor win a round.
For sure. Well, and then, you know, it seemed like he was scared of the takedown, obviously, because of Gilbert Burns' great jiu-jitsu. And Gilbert even invited him, I think, one of the times he was knocked on the ground. Yeah, he was just like, come on. And they're like, no. You get that on the feet.
I can't accredit Woodley for anything besides not getting knocked out. Choked out.
Yeah. I mean,
bottom out in the first round. That could have been really bad.
I was a little disappointed, obviously, because I wanted to see him, you know, try to make a run. At this point, part of me feels like maybe he should retire. I mean, I don't see him beating anybody else in the top welterweight division. I don't see him ever beating, after seeing that performance, I don't think he can beat Usman. I don't even think he could beat Covington at this point.
His best chance was when they were talking trash. Now, Covington would have put a smackdown on him.
And
that'd be really bad.
And I mean, and Gilbert's looking like he's the world beater. I mean, him and Usman are teammates, and he's willing to fight him, which is pretty surprising. Dude, but
bro, I don't get that, because that Usman, I don't know how close they are. I know that they have the same striking coach, Henry Hooft, Hoof yep. Kickboxing, amazing. I believe Henry Hoof's gym is in Fort Lauderdale. It's called Hard Knocks 365. And, you know, I think Burns does a lot of cross training, but that's one of his destinations. And he also owns, or at least is a co-owner of Sanford MMA, which is in Sanford, Florida, which is like not too far from here. Orlando, I don't think. But those are, yeah, I don't even know where I was going with my thoughts, but I'm sorry, man. Like,
maybe they're not real teammates like that.
There's a lot of people, and this is me and Alon see differently on here, you know? He's like, dude, it's for, you know, like, this is every fighter's goal is to be a world champion, you know? And if it's your teammate who's at top, then you're going to have to fight him, you know? There's a certain amount of money, you're going to accept it, and you're going to fight him. But I'm like, dude, and here's my mindset is that if that person helped me get to where I'm at, I'm not going to take what's his. Like, I'm going to get my gold no matter what. If I'm a fighter, then I'm still going to find a way to touch gold. You know, you can't stay on top forever and my chance will come. Yeah. And then I made some examples out of it. Lyoto Machida and Anderson Silva, Cain Velasquez and you know, Daniel Cormier. So it's just, I mean, and he's like, yeah, but they're in the same division. I'm like, well, Gilbert Burns moved up. He was a 155er. His last loss was Dan Hooker. Got KO'd by Dan Hooker, which is not, you know, a shame at all. Dan Hooker's on fire.
Beast.
So it's just weird, you know. You know, what I think Burns should do is jump into the whole 55-pound title mix. I think he could just jump down and be like, hey, actually, I want Khabib. I pose a lot of problems for Khabib, and I'm ready to go whenever.
I'm curious to see.
Imagine that. He's more dangerous than Gaethje. He can submit you and knock you out. That's and he can wrestle you.
That's all the facets
of MMA.
I'm wondering, because he looked good at 170, like
a lot better.
Physically, he looked really good. Yeah. I'm wondering if maybe he would be too depleted for 155. I love, you know, I'm such a Khabib homer, so I don't see anybody beating him.
Yeah, because Gaethje took that away.
We'll see, man. I'm curious to see how that turns out. But I think, you know, most likely, I think he mentioned he'd love to fight Covington, which is another thing. Covington left ATT, so that's...
That guy's wild. I hear he's a really good, nice guy, really good guy, but he just chooses to not be that. To portray himself as someone else.
He's gone for the gimmick. He wants people to watch him lose because in this sport, money. From what I've seen, it's all about your views, you know, and if you're not getting, especially when you're not champion, because I believe when you're champion, you get pay-per-view buys. You get a piece of the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
When you're not champion, at that point, all you have is your numbers. So who are you bringing to the, you know, how many people are watching you? They're either watching you because they want to see you win, or in Colby Covington's case, they just want to see you lose. And and so if he can keep that thing going, then people will want to watch. So I think it would be a smart move to have Gilbert Burns fight somebody like Colby. And then, you know, Usman... At this point, I guess fight. He's not gonna fight Masvidal, so he might as well, if he can, fight Connor. Even though, you know, I don't see.
That's super weird.
I told you. I mean, well, now they're saying what? They're saying Anderson Silva and Connor are now talking about it. It's like who? Super everybody's weird. Apparently fighting Connor at this point. So.
I think anything's possible. Money talks, and it's also 2020. I feel like aliens are gonna intrude this year, and I wouldn't be surprised. Anything goes in 2020.
At this point, you're right. You're right. I mean, I would like to see Gilbert Burns. You know, like it's kind of weird, right? Because I think was it Chael? Somebody mentioned he beat the number one contender, so. And he was sixth in the rankings. Obviously, he's going to be in the top five.
Top three.
If he beat the top contender, you have to be someone in the top three. Colby already fought for a title. He's probably not going to fight again.
Masvidal,
apparently...
The numbers are adding up.
From what he says, Usman wanted too much money. And I'm sure he probably wanted more money than Masvidal, thinking that because he's the champion. But if the pay-per-view buys lean towards Masvidal's favor, then he, I could see why he would want to be, why he would either want to make more money or why he doesn't feel that Usman deserves as much money as he's asking for, because he feels that even with a title like the baddest motherfucking title, that he still brings more eyeballs to the event.
I would rather watch Masvidal over Usman 20 days out of the week. Not even close for me. I mean, Usman is very talented. He's, you know, he's definitely deserves to be number one. But if I were to be like, you know, if I were to introduce a fan who's never watched MMA before, they're watching Masvidal.
You're right. And I mean, you're right. I was going to say, I mean, I've liked Kamaru's fights. I've never felt like he was boring or kind of lulling. But if you're going to compare the two of what's honestly more exciting, you're right. Masvidal has had the most exciting fights.
I've seen some explosive Usman fights where he one right hand drops the guy and makes him, you know, fold, literally folds him like a lawn chair. Like he has that power and he could put people out. And then there's also 30% Usman where he wrestles somebody for three rounds and goes, yeah, that's what I did on 30%. I wasn't feeling so good for this fight. I did that. I did all that on 30%. I'm like, dude, risk 100%, you know? I don't know. I guess for me, he's one of the hardest to like for me. And I respect him as a martial artist, as a fighter. I guess I'm just not a fan.
Right hardest now. To, one like, of my hardest friends, to like than even Colby?
Oh yeah, good point. everybody looks shiny next to Colby. You know? I like Colby though. I like his gimmick. It's hilarious. Greetings, nerds and virgins.
I do see a little bit of the Usman. Like Masvidal, it seems at least. And granted, this is all due to his editing and some of the stuff has kind of made Usman look like a cornball sometimes when it comes to what he said in the past and kind of how he's portrayed himself. But man, I mean, the dude knows how to fight. I mean, considering he's got no knees, my man performed, especially against Woodley and Colby. And Colby put up a great fight against Usman, man.
That was razor thin.
But Usman took some shots and kept coming.
He hit a little bit harder. He was a little bit more powerful.
You know?
It's just like the Max Holloway-Dustin Poirier fight. That's exactly what that fight was.
Yep.
Someone just carries that weight better.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess, that, like, going back to the point, Gilbert, I mean, I don't know what the ranking is for Colby. He's, what, two or three?
He's two.
Two, because...
Three or four would be Wonder Boy.
Well, where's Masvidal then?
Three or four. Interchangeable. But Wonder Boy whooped Masvidal. I don't know if you remember. Wonder Boy whooped Masvidal.
That's true.
But so did Maya. So did Maya, right?
Huh?
So did Maya.
You're right. That was what? That was early on, though. That was a wild.
Dude, that's my dream style, just being that good in jiu-jitsu. Just having to take someone down. Dude, you take no damage. You rarely get punched.
Yeah.
You don't have to really hurt
yourself. Unless you're going for a leg lock.
Right? Yeah. Rusamar Paul Harris. You remember that guy?
The name?
The big jacked Brazilian. He was a leg lock fanatic. Just broke people's legs. He was middleweight.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he dropped to welterweight as well. I'll send you a highlight clip of him. He's definitely a douchebag. Cause like he'll have it. The guy will tap.
Did he fight Jake Ellenberg?
No.
Or Jake Shields? Who was it? Jake Shields or Jake?
No. He fought Nate Marquardt. He fought Alan Belcher. He fought Hector Lombard.
When he Mike fought, Pierce. Wait, but you said he fought at 170?
John Fitch.
Is that who he fought at? But who did he fight at 170?
John Fitch, Mike Pierce.
There was like some controversy where he like had a leg lock and he didn't let it go
That's every fight of his. He actually submitted Jake Shields. He submitted Jake Shields.
Yeah, that's the guy. See, I knew it. Okay.
He held Kimura.
That name sounded familiar. Yeah, and he's like a dirty fighter too, because he did some stuff in that Jake Shields fight. Like
baked his eyes or something.
Yeah, man. Yep. Yeah, I remember him. Yeah, I knew he fought Jake. I was like, wait, that name sounds super familiar. Yeah, he's super crooked, bro. That dude is super shiesty.
Shame. Shame.
But yeah, I mean, it's the division just added another piece to that arsenal.
Two most stacked divisions, 55 and 70, hands down.
Woodley can still obviously fight in that division. I just don't know if he'll be able to take out the top guys. Dude,
I saw the tail of the tape. It said he was 38. I've been watching this man for years. I didn't realize how old he was, I guess.
Yeah. Oh. Black don't crack, my man.
I thought he was like barely 30, bro.
But he's been doing it for a hot second, man.
I found out about him in 2012. He was fighting Nate Marquardt.
Yep.
And he got knocked out. That was how I got introduced to Tyron Woodley.
Well, and didn't he get knocked out by Rory McDonald too?
No, not knocked out.
No, I thought he got finished by Rory.
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay.
I mean, I don't even remember how their fight went. I know Rory won. I
could have sworn Rory knocked him out. Let me see.
You look it up. Rory's been on and off in the UFC.
Yeah.
He's about to win himself $1 million in WSOF or PFL. He's in the whole PFL $1 million tournament now.
Is he?
Yeah, that's the big free agent signing.
Shoot.
But I think that he just kind of kept him at bay, kind of like Kelvin Gastelum.
No, you're right. Yeah, it was a decision.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe he just caught him, and then I could have sworn I remember seeing where he had him against the fence, and he had dropped him. I think he. I think he just dropped him, but he didn't really finish him. But yeah, he won a decision. It was a co-main. But now we'll see with Gilbert Burns in the mix. We'll see who he ends up fighting. Moving on to the next pay-per-view event, 250. I believe the last time.
Next week, right?
Yeah, next Saturday.
Wow.
The last time we saw the card, remember, there wasn't really any other fighters besides Amanda Nunes and Felicia Spencer on the card. But now they're
stacked.
My God. It looks great. We got Aljamain Sterling versus Sanhagen for basically the title fight, because they're going to fight whoever – they're going to fight Peter Yan for the title.
I don't think Peter Yan deserves a title shot fight. I think he's good, but he beat a 40-year-old favorite. Come on, dude. That's not title worthy.
But he's been on a tear, and Dana already said it. Whoever wins out of these two is fighting Peter Yan for the belt.
Oh, wow. Because Cejudo's gone.
That's why, yeah. That's why they're fighting, is to determine who's going to be the other challenger to Peter. Or Petra. Peter. I don't know. There's also Sugar Sean.
I love Sugar Sean O'Malley.
I believe he's fighting Eddie Wineland.
Yes.
So that should be a really good fight. And I think I just saw a video somewhere that he painted his hair like Tekashi.
That was weird. I don't.
I love it.
Wild.
I love it. Sean is wild, and he's a phenomenal fighter. So I'm really excited to see that. Sanhagen, O'Malley. Who else? There was another. Oh, and the co-main event, Garbrandt and Rafael Assuncao.
That's right. Oh man, that's a rough fight to come back to, especially how Garbrandt's, luck has been lately. He's on 3 straight KO losses, which I think hardly of Garbrandt. I actually like Garbrandt too. I actually liked him when he was champion. I was a bigger fan of TJ Dillashaw at the time, but I can't respect him because he's a cheater now. If you get caught cheating once, I question your whole career.
Especially with something like EPOs, where it's literally meant to help you recover from, cutting weight, all those things, so you don't feel as depleted. You don't let your body naturally deal with the adversity of having to cut weight. Rafael is also just a phenomenal fighter, man. The dude beat TJ Dillashaw. He beat
Faber back
Sterling, right?
Yeah.
He also beat Marlon Moraes.
He did?
Oh no, did he lost that fight?
Moraes is good.
So I think he lost that fight with Moraes. Oh, wait, no. Maybe he did beat him. Jeez, now I'm trying to remember.
I think Moraes was... I'm not sure who won that one. I remember that Moraes beat... I think he was like 2-0 in the UFC before he got the title fight. He like head kicked Aljo, and he head kicked Jimmy Rivera.
Oh, the first time they fought, Rafael won in the first round by submission.
Against Moraes?
Against Moraes, against Marlon.
Oh, nice.
And then I think they fought a second time, right?
No, they fought twice. Where have I been?
Oh, maybe that was it. Maybe that. Okay, yeah. I saw rematches two.
Are super rare.
Yeah, the rematch was where. I'm sorry. I think the first time. Rafael won, and then the second time, Marlon Moraes won, by submission. That's what it was, and that was the UFC Brazil card where Moisano fought Jose Aldo, and Jose Aldo knocked him out. That was that same card.
Still got it, bro.
So, I mean, that card is going to be pretty amazing.
And then who else is there?
Some of the other prelims I didn't really...
No offense against Amanda Nunes. She's the greatest female, you know, fighter of all time. You know, the female goat in my eyes. But I don't know about her strength to carry a card. She's done it once, but it wasn't her fault. Like, it wasn't, like, planned for her to be the headliner. And that was UFC 200. That's because John Jones fucked up.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
There's really her competition's like very thin. You know, it was supposed to be Megan Anderson, which Felicia Spencer choked out. And Felicia Spencer, she's in Orlando, bro. She chains out of the jungle in Orlando. As I should be rooting for her, I'm sorry. I don't think she gets it done, dude. I mean, this girl's tough. She went the distance with Cyborg, you know. To not get knocked out by Cyborg, that's
a win. A win. It's a
win for all women.
I agree, though. I mean, you know, it'd be nice to have a homer win and beat one of the best, honestly. It's kind of hard for me. I mean, I hope every time I think one of these legends in the game is going to come back. And granted, she doesn't need to come back from anything. She's a champion. But my picks have been off, and so have yours. So hopefully...
Hopefully, I've been terrible with my quarantine picks.
Hopefully Amanda comes off with the win. I think, you know, again, she's the greatest of all time. After Felicia, though, it's like, you know, where else do you go? Who else do you fight? Shevchenko, maybe. That's really the only other option, I guess.
Yeah, she's already 2-0 against her, even though they're both razor-thin fights.
Yeah. So that's the only thing. I'm sure the numbers aren't going to be in her favor, but as fight fans, man, that card is stacked though.
The Durandamy card was the Durandamy fight. Her last fight was pretty close, but I'd still give it to
But Durandamy, honestly, I didn't. As much as Durandamy is supposed to be really good with her striking too, because she's Dutch, ain't she? She's from Holland.
Yes, Dutch kickboxer. Yeah. I think she was a Muay Thai fighter as well. I mean, this is all speculation, but I think she super ducked Cyborg. She didn't want to fight Cyborg.
No, but I mean...
She won the belt, and then her next fight was Cyborg. She said, no, I'm good. She's a cheater. I mean, she used to be a cheater. That is the next in line. That is a very shallow division. There's like three people there. You have no choice.
But hey, she ended up going against the woman that knocked her out and destroyed her, and
she's even scarier, I guess.
And didn't end up, you know,
doing too bad.
So, but even still, I mean, maybe that could be something that down the line people might want to see, or not even might want to see. That's probably maybe the fight they might give her again because it was closer. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's just unfortunately for Amanda. As great as she is, because she literally is the greatest female fighter of all time at this point. It's like, where does she go? You know, who else does she fight that people will continue to be impressed that she's defeating, you know? But with Cody, I mean, it's exciting because you get to see now if Cody can win. I mean, he's back in line to possibly fight some of these top contenders to
hopefully. I don't think he fell too far in the rankings, did he? Is he still ranked?
I don't know. I can't imagine he wouldn't be, right? Let me see. Let me actually look at the UFC website. Show me the rankings.
I probably gotta go top 10.
I would assume so. I can't imagine that they would have dropped him out too bad. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited, man. I think we got some great cards coming our way. You know, the Khabib fight.
One of these days.
It's in September, supposedly. That's kind of when they're the goal. Ramadan
really gets in the way of a lot of things.
Yeah, and I mean, but at this point, they're fighting.
Religion. You
know? And they've already, I guess, spoken to Putin, and he is, I guess, spoken about allowing him to leave. But it's also going to depend on, I mean, from Cormier says, Khabib is still training, even with everything that's going on with his father, because his father, I believe, is back in a coma and is in critical condition. So he's, tending to his father, tending to his family, but also training. And I mean, hopefully, if he does come to fight in September, he's going to be prepared, because that's a lot of adversity he's facing without even having to touch, you know, step into the ring, into the cage. And he's got to be on point when it comes to a guy like Justin Gaethje, because he cannot take any chances on his feet, because...
I don't know. I mean, Gaethje can kind of just roll off the couch and be a world-class athlete, apparently.
Well, I mean,
maybe not completely off the couch, but kind of like...
He was still training. I think he said he was getting... He said he was helping Neil. Is that who he trains with, Neil Magny, as well? That's another fighter, by the way. Neil's fighting.
He's fighting next week. Yeah.
Neil's on the card as well. I forgot who he was mentioning, but he was already kind of training. And then when he got offered the fight, he was just on Joe Rogan's podcast.
I didn't get to listen to it.
Talking about how they originally were trying to turn down the original fight, because his thing was his biggest thing was he'll never take a short notice fight. Never. That's what they agreed upon, him and Trevor Whitman. Never. He always said that. I'm never going to take it. The only exception was for a title.
Of course.
He wanted that short notice fight. Trevor Whitman said no. And then when they offered him the fight later on, when they canceled it and then offered him the fight again, and he actually had more time, that's when Trevor Whitman was like, hey, that's when he had to convince Justin, like, hey, this is the time to take the fight. We're good. Because apparently he just finished going hard, and Justin had just like gained like 12 pounds. And so he was like, this is the perfect time, because the way they train is he trains hard, I guess, for 2 weeks. Sparring, all this, and then he lets him relax, gain a little bit of weight, and then the last week is when he's able to shed that weight again.
It's weird.
You gotta check it out. It was a great podcast. He was phenomenal. He creates his own equipment for MMA training, and it's specific to MMA training. The gloves are better. He's trying to get. Yeah. Bro,
really really fancy gloves, man. I can't afford those. They're like $250.
The Onyx ones?
Yeah?
250? But dude, you know why?
There's a monthly payment on them. I think it's like 30 a month.
One, you know why though? He's making a lot of them by hand. The prototypes, like, he's making them by hand in his basement, and he's using top tier material. Like, mm-hmm. He goes in depth about it on the podcast, and it was really phenomenal to see kind of how his brain was working and just the kind of motivator and coach he was. Like, really much respect. I already had a lot of respect for him as a coach. Yeah. But to see him just speak about it and speak about his fighter and Gaethje the way that he did was awesome. And just his psychology of, you know, he believes himself to be a psychologist more than anything else, of being able to prepare his fighters to mentally be in the game. And he was talking about, like, hey, man, you know, these guys talk shit about your mama. He's like, hey, man, don't be getting upset, man. You don't even know your mama. Like, fuck this guy. He's just saying that shit just to get under your skin. Don't let him win. And yeah, man, it was a really, really great podcast. But Justin already mentioned, he was like, this is his legacy. And the way he wants it, the way he sees it in his mind is, he beat Tony Ferguson, one of the best to do it. if he beats Khabib, he gets the belt, and then he can fight Conor. He was saying, he's like, if I wanted to fight Conor, I could fight Conor right now. He's like, but that's not the way I want to go. I want to get the belt. I want, because I'm here to win, to be a champion.
I don't think Conor wants that. That's my personal opinion.
I mean, I think, I don't see Conor ducking anybody, right? I think,
not necessarily, no.
I think he knows he has the potential to beat anybody. I just, the probability of him beating certain people, I think we know, are better, obviously, than others. And so I think he would take that Gaethje fight because he knows Gaethje's going to keep it standing, and he has the opportunity to potentially knock him out because he's seen him get knocked out before. But, and maybe he's thinking of the old Gaethje that would rush in when he saw people kind of getting spaghetti legs. But this is a different Gaethje, man. I mean, you saw it with when how methodical he was with Ferguson when he rocked him several times and never fully pounced on him, just kept picking him apart, kept picking him apart, kept picking him apart. And essentially kind of made it known to the judges and to the world that he was whooping his ass and that he was going to get that round. So, I mean, again, lots of respect towards Gaethje and kind of his belief in thinking that his legacy will be built on him essentially beating the best lightweights that have been in the game. And at this point, he's defeated one. He's he actually mentioned, he was like, he'd rather fight Poirier over Conor because Poirier is somebody who's one of the best and gave him an L, and he wants to avenge that L.
Which I think he absolutely would.
Now? Heck yeah. I mean, I hate
still
to take
toss up, but better
I hate change to,
now.
Yeah, I hate to take away anything from Poirier, but man, I mean, Gaethje just looked really, really impressive. You beat a guy like Ferguson, I mean, you can beat essentially anybody. You have the tools to beat anybody. So, but yeah, I was trying to think of going back on my point. Before we talk about Gaethje, we were talking about
just a bunch of random stuff, to be honest.
That's how we roll, son.
Yeah. Good talks, Gillen. Good talks.
Oh,
a lot of things down.
Yeah, I honestly don't even know at this point. Well, trying to think who else in this card mentioned Neil Magny. I forgot who he's fighting to. Gosh, I'm trying to see this.
Anthony Rocco Martin.
There we go.
I don't know too much about him.
Me neither. But it's always good to see Neil Magny fight.
Who else?
There is.
Can't even think of it.
See, I'm trying to see this card. And it's not showing me 250 card. Here we go. Are you showing me? Don't care about this one. Here we go. Now I can see it. Sorry for all you lifers out there. So technical difficulties. AKA, it takes forever for me to look up stuff on ESPN. Yeah. Come on, pull up. What's going on? I think that's, yeah. All right. Well, I'm giving up on this. This is done. So that's a September card it's looking like for Khabib Gaethje. I think, depending on how all these talks go, you know, I guess we can kind of look forward to certain fights. John Jones saying he's vacating the title. He's tired of Dana lying and trashing his name, supposedly. And I don't know if you've seen kind of some of the coverage, but apparently they were trying to negotiate the super fight between him and Francis. So apparently that was a thing that was going to happen. And from what Dana's saying, allegedly John just was asking for like 30 mil and was asking for like Deontay Wilder money and wanted to.
He's literally the number two superstar in UFC. If Conor McGregor never existed, it's John Jones.
I think.
Or Anderson, whatever.
I think for business sake, I don't know how his numbers are. And for the UFC, pay-per-view buys are everything.
They mean everything. They're still going to buy it, though. He's a shitty
human being. But if his numbers don't warrant that, it's the same as Usman. If the numbers don't warrant him, if the numbers show that people aren't buying the fights as much when he's fighting.
Usman and John Jones numbers aren't even close.
Well, I'm saying, but if the numbers aren't, not they're not. We both know they're not the top selling pay per view guys. It's gonna be Conor. It's gonna be Khabib. It's gonna be.
I don't know if Khabib can carry a card. Did you remember the Khabib and Poirier numbers? I mean, he's got Russia behind him.
He still did pretty good numbers for.
Well, we're talking post Conor Khabib.
You got to think about. Khabib still had. Oh yeah, post Conor, his numbers went up.
Post Conor Khabib, yeah. That's recent. That's the new thing. Yeah, I forgot about that. I guess.
But this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the present right now. If they look at the last few cards and John Jones hasn't been selling pay per views, they're not going to pay him. They're just not. They're going to be like, you don't bring as much as you think you do, which is unfortunate.
Put it like this. Put it like this. If they're going to headline a card, are they putting a Khabib fight or a John Jones fight as the main event?
Khabib.
Nah.
Khabib, bro. Nah. The division's deeper. The division's deeper. It's deeper. He's going to fight better talent than John Jones would ever in the light heavyweight.
Look at it this way. John Jones' next fights are either Izzy or Ngannou. That sells over anything you can tell me right now. There's nothing you can get that's close to that. Maybe Conor and Anderson. I don't know. That's probably
huge. No.
That's going to be huge. Huge.
I guess. I guess only because it's Conor. That's the only reason. I mean, I guess, yeah, if he's fighting Izzy or Ngannou, the problem is, again, they don't, for whatever reason, they don't believe that his worth is whatever he's asking for. And the biggest thing is that he was calling Dana a liar, and Dana said that he had all these texts.
Release him. Bring him to Bellator. Fresh talent.
We'll see. Can you imagine?
He would literally run the division, get an instant title shot.
You think he'd beat Bader?
He'd do what he did before. He'd babied Bader. Even now.
Bader's gotten a lot better. Bader's gotten a lot better than what he was in the UFC.
But there's, I mean, the way Bader would beat John Jones. It's true. The way that Bader would beat John Jones is either taking him down or knocking him out. And he's not doing either. I think Jones can be double champ in Bellator. I think he should take the Bellator thing. Give Bellator another reason to watch.
Dana ain't releasing him, bro. He's making him fight a monster, or he's having him retire, and that's it. Because the problem is he'll always be under contract with him.
They can nullify the contract if they really wanted to, though.
I mean, bro, knowing the UFC, they're not going to nullify shit for him. If he's talking clowning. Loud.
He's clowning the UFC right now. So they
talking shit, they'll just be like, all right, hey, listen, you want to fight Ngannou? This is how much you're going to fight him for. You don't want to fight him? You're not fighting anybody. That's if you don't fight anybody, fight, though. If you don't agree to fight anybody, then guess what? Oh, then we'll just take your belt. And then, hey, you can retire.
He relinquished it today.
You have to fight for the UFC.
Bro, he don't care about the belt. Huh? You know how many times John Jones has lost the belt without actually losing the fight? Like five or six times. He don't give a damn about that belt.
But he should, because that belt is gonna it's what makes sure that he gets the pay-per-view buys. Because without the belt, you don't get pay-per-view buys.
Think about it like this: John Jones is never fighting a fight without a belt on the line for the rest of his life. Ever since 2011.
It's true. He's
even
made money.
Even when he came back, they're like, "Oh, you want a tune-up fight? Here's OSP and an interim title."
He's made some money. The dude's made some money, but
he don't need the money.
But he, I'm curious to see. It's like my word of my phrase of the day. I want to see what happens with that, because, man, if they can make that fight happen between him and Ngannou,
he's gonna beat the brakes off of Ngannou.
That'll be an exciting fight. Well, because the best thing about it is everybody's going to be kind of on the edge of their seats because of the fact that Ngannou has the ability to just put people away with one solid punch. And as much as, you know, we both agree, I think John Jones can dominate. All it takes is that one. But if he can break his will, like what happened in Ganu after the Stipe fight, then that changes the whole game.
But from who's the better fighter, Stipe or John Jones?
John Jones.
Okay.
Yeah, of course.
You saw what Stipe did.
No, but I get it. I just...
Styles make fights at the end of the day, but he's a better wrestler.
Also, he's going up in weight. It would be his first time, so there's who's still something... Wrestler? Huh?
Who's a better wrestler?
Come on, bro. You already know. John Jones, of course.
Who's
of
a better striker?
John... well... John Jones definitely, yes, he's a better striker. The more powerful striker, obviously, is I think, in Ghana.
Of course, and Stipe.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, I mean, there's a lot going on, a lot of drama right now, especially
with that. What if I told you John Jones cuts weight from 230 to 240 to 205?
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. But I also believe that Francis Ngannou is cutting weight to hit 265.
Yeah.
Which is... stupid.
How much protein do you eat in Ghana? All of it.
Everything. Bro, I think Brandon Schaub was talking about one time on a podcast. I think he was talking about he went to like one of the last UFC events that he was allowed to go to or that he actually went to. He got to meet in Ghana, and it was like they were at like, I guess, some event and there was food. And so he was like about to grab the last like food item, whatever it was. And Ghana ended up like going there to like grab it, and Brendan just looked at him and was like, "Oh no, man, that's all you, bro. You go ahead and have at it, man."
Brendan shot something else, man. That's awesome.
Love him, love him. But I mean, damn. I'm trying to think what we might be missing here. I don't think we really covered, you know, Colby leaving ATT, which is a pretty big deal. I mean,
I thought that was a while ago.
No, this was recent. It's pretty recent.
Because he's calling out Poirier. He's calling out JJ, he's calling out, who else? Masvidal? He's not a very good teammate.
And, I mean, you know, just a lot of people. But mind you, and Lambert, Dan Lambert, I believe is his name, right? The owner. I believe he was still very supportive of him, was still, you know, wasn't happy about kind of the steps they had to take to separate him, because now they all had to train at separate times, and, you know, mainly obviously Colby. Like, Colby couldn't be in there when these guys are training. Colby had to have his own and had to have his own coaches kind of help him out. And I don't know what really ended up happening, but he did. And they took him off the website. It's like Masvidal said about it. It's like he never existed. So, you know, I guess we'll see what ends up happening with him and
I don't think he gets another title shot. I'm not sure if they exactly like him in the UFC.
No, he's going to have to – I mean, he can if he wins his fights. I could see him either fighting like a Gilbert Burns or maybe a Leon Edwards, considering Edwards now lost his opportunity to fight Tyrone, which, again, I think Leon would have beat Woodley if the Woodley that showed up against Burns.
Oh, easily, yeah.
I think Leon would have beat him.
Leon hasn't lost a fight since George Masvidal.
And he's looking... Right? Are you talking about the backstage fight?
Bing, 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 bing.
Instead of soda, that's he's bad. Caught. Yeah, I mean, it's... I think it'll be interesting. It looks like Masvidal's going to fight Nate.
Maybe.
Usman could fight Gilbert or Leon.
Nah, not Leon.
I mean, at this point, really should be Gilbert. Gilbert beat the number one contender.
Leon and Usman already fought. Let me double check.
I don't know. But at this point, I think it should be somebody like Gilbert Burns. I mean, you can't give it to Covington. Obviously, Woodley's out. Masvidal's fighting Nate. Who else really is there besides Leon and Gilbert? Leon's stuck in England as of now. Gilbert's really the only other opportunity.
Leon called out Usman. He wants that fight.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, I was right. It was the decision. Usman beat him.
Usman beat him?
Hurt. And then he hasn't lost since. 7 straight, I think. 8 straight.
How long ago was that fight? Just say the year.
2015.
Oh, wow. Okay. Not too long ago. put enough time with. I mean, a lot of these guys have gotten
8 straight wins.
Whew.
But he hasn't finished a fight since 2018.
Oh.
Been a bit.
It's all right.
Still good wins on his resume, though.
On his resume, I'm sure.
Wow.
So I think at this point we got some great potential fights ahead of us. I'm hoping they all deliver, you know? Sean, who do you got have winning over Sean? You think Sean's going to pull it out again?
Sean O'Malley?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Eddie Wineland is good, but I think he's way past his prime. And I think O'Malley's too confident, too fast, too strong. He's going to do what he wants. I think he's the future. Actually, I'm a big fan of O'Malley.
A lot of these, you know, Gilbert said it, I think, best. When he was talking about Tyrone, he was mentioning, you know, it's time for the new guard. And a lot of these guys are showing that it's their time.
That's any sport, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's about time for that.
Don't you remember the evolution when we saw the guys like Randy Couture's, the Chuck Liddell's, the Tito Ortiz, the Rich Franklin's of the world? You just saw the shift of all these younger guys coming in, these more well-rounded guys, had a little bit more, some of these tools sharpened when it came to especially their ground game. And then nowadays, I mean, if you don't have
everything,
a specific, if you're, you have to be great at everything, but I feel like some of the best ones are phenomenal in one place and then really great at everything else.
Of course.
Like Gaethje is phenomenal with his hands and his leg kicks,
mm-hmm.
but has tremendous defense.
We also,
tremendous defense.
We never really get to see anything else, to be honest with Gaethje. But on that note, you know who hasn't lost in 2 decades? You know, I'm talking the 2020 and 2010.
Yeah. Jones. I know.
He was with the last generation, and he's still beating people this generation.
He is, but it's getting closer.
Youngest champ of all time.
You start seeing the, you're looking at people catching up. They're starting to catch up.
I just think he's bored. He looks bored.
That's my biggest thing. I feel like the motivation.
This cocaine jar.
I feel like that's a lot of these guys. I mean, right? Like you see Woodley with his climb to being a champion, phenomenal, right? Was looking really, really good.
Gregor.
When you see guys like Whitaker, when you see guys like Holloway, and then they become champs, and they retain their title for a bit. And then once they lose it, it seems like they kind of become a little bit deflated, whether it's maybe keeping the hunger again to achieve something that they've already done. I don't know. It seems like at least Woodley right now, it seems like he's showing a little bit of those symptoms. You know, Holloway fought, hasn't really fought after Volkanovski, but he had mentioned how relieved he was not to be champion. Hopefully he can show up though when his next fight arrives and shows why he was one of the greatest featherweight champs in that division. And then trying to think who else champion wise kind of lost it. And Whitaker. Hopefully Whitaker can come back after his loss to Izzy and can show that he's still a beast.
He's absolutely a beast, but that man's not getting the title again.
I don't think, but it's not for me. It's like you don't even need to be a champion again. Just be a great, close to a contender. Like be a great fighter again. Like show that why you were the champion. A lot of guys, unfortunately, it looks like afterwards, at least as of late, kind of get deflated. Like it just, you know, they don't seem to have that hunger. And granted, for Woodley, it could also be, you know, he thought he was going to fight Leon. You know, he kind of got a last minute fight against Burns. I don't know how long ago they announced the fight, but I'm sure he wasn't training. He didn't have a training camp to fight Burns. So, because Burns, I mean, jiu-jitsu-wise, he couldn't play with him on the ground. He can't mess with him on the ground because the dude will submit you quick if you mess up. So I'm really interested in seeing how some of these old champions or former champions, not old, former champions bounce back in the future, because a lot of them had, leading up to being a champion, and even in some of their title defenses, were phenomenal fighters. Just put on a show, especially somebody like Max Holloway, put on a show a lot. And even Whitaker, actually. Whitaker always had some pretty dang exciting fights. I mean, those fights against against Yoel were ridiculous.
Took years off his life fighting those.
Yeah, and Iggy finished snatching up his soul. or Izzy, I'm sorry. I'm trying to think, are we missing anything else? Is there another... There's not really another card announced. I think 250 seems to be...
Not that I can think of. Usually only go like a week at a time. Maybe a fight night after this one.
Yeah, I think the fight night, June 13th, Calvillo and Jessica I, guess. Right? That's her name? Jessica I?
Yes.
Yes. And then after that, there's another fight night, June 20th. I guess Curtis Blaydes versus Volkov. And then there's UFC 252. And then there's UFC Fight Night Dublin, August 15th. So if that's a real thing, UFC Fight Night Dublin, I mean, it's a fight night, so I don't, you know, it'd be pretty crazy if you put Conor on a fight night. I would think that they would turn that into a pay-per-view event.
Definitely a pay-per-view.
But 252 is the week, well, not the week before, it's the month before in July. So, yeah, that should definitely be a pay-per-view card. Pay-per-view card. I feel like I've been saying pay-per-view, like a dummy with a B instead of a V, because, well, you know.
Sound like a Filipino.
Pay-per-view
with DB.
Pay-per-view, Mikey. Makes me think of Joe Coy. Joseph. Well, yeah, man. I think that's it, brother. I don't think there's really anything else MMA news wise.
All up to date.
Right?
For now.
For everybody who saw my post, we were planning on having Alan join us tonight. Unfortunately, he couldn't, but hopefully we will be having him soon. We also missed our boy Eric as well. Shout out to him. Who I think is going to be a pretty consistent guest, if not eventual host with us on the show. But we're excited that we keep to continue to do this, brother. We'll be staying in touch, obviously, as always.
Mm-hmm.
Life is out there. Appreciate y'all checking in and tuning in. Make sure you check out those fights, because this next card is going to be some fireworks. Peace to all y'all. Have a good night. Stay safe out there.